الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أولياؤه إلا المتقون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. On the way of the pious, the Siddiqeen, and the Salihin, the next point is that we should be soft-hearted. In fact, it's not one point. There are like three or four points here, and all of them pertain to having good akhlaq. In the way we deal with others, we should be people of noble akhlaq, noble qualities, noble characteristic. And one aspect of having good akhlaq towards others is that we should not break anyone's heart. And this is really important on this path towards the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, this is something that we don't give too much value. But the Sharia gives this a lot of value, that a person should not break other people's heart. Now, what does this mean? The meaning is that within the boundaries of the Sharia, a person should not break another person's heart. So this does not mean that a boy and a girl, they are having a relationship outside of Sharia, and then the boy says that, if you don't talk to me, I will be sad. So then the girl says, I can't break your heart. So she goes and talks to that guy. This doesn't mean that. If it's something that is sinful, then even if it makes the other person sad, one has to avoid sin. One has to leave the sin. But for other activities which lie within the Sharia, there a person should practice this khuluq, this attribute of not breaking other people's heart. And this is particularly important for all of us, men, women, that we should not. Sometimes people have a habit, a temperament, that they deliberately, intentionally say something or do something to hurt the heart of someone, to break the heart of someone. And they don't realize how big and how major this sin is in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in a hadith in Barakah, the Prophet ﷺ told us a story about a Bani Israel. There was a woman from Bani Israel who had a habit of fasting during the day and praying during the night. Sa'imatul dahar and qa'imatul layl. So much ibadah. And then one day she had a cat, and the cat drank the milk. So she became really upset and angry on that cat. Then why did she drink my milk? So she put the cat in a cage, and she kept her hungry, kept the cat hungry. Didn't give her anything to eat or drink. And that cat eventually passed away because of starvation. And in the Hadith Mubarak, it's mentioned that when that cat passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that this woman, she will go to the fire. Imagine that this is a woman who otherwise was so pious, so virtuous, that she would spend the whole night in ibadah. She would fast during the day. But because of this treatment, this maltreatment towards this one animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends her, instead of Jannah, Allah sends her into the fire. So if this is what happens when you mistreat or maltreat an animal, then imagine what will happen if we break the hearts of human beings. If we break the hearts of humans, then what will happen with us? Something to think and ponder about. This is one of the major attributes of the Siddiqeen, the righteous and the pious, that they don't break anyone's heart. And if we can also develop this quality within us, then it'll be very easy for us to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet has mentioned this hadith, which is a very famous hadith, all of you would know. The Prophet defined who is a Muslim. That Al Muslimu man salim al Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. That Muslim is that person that other believers are safe from his tongue and from his hands, from his limbs. This is the definition of an ordinary believer. Ordinary believer, that other people are safe from his tongue and safe from his hands. So we should live a life where we live a life of love, a life where we connect other people, reconcile between people, and we shouldn't be a source of breaking other people's heart. We should make this intention. In one hadith, and listen how important this is. Many times we look at Baytullah Sharif and we all have respect for Baytullah Sharif in our heart. We love Baytullah Sharif, we honor Baytullah Sharif. And then once we know that the Prophet was doing tawaf of Baytullah Sharif and addressed the Baytullah Sharif and said that, "O house of Allah, O Baytullah, surely you are very exalted and noble in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَهُرْمَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَعْزَمُ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُرْمَةً مِنْكِ. That I swear by that being in whose hand is my soul, the honor of a Muslim is more than the honor of Baytullah. Yani the honor of a Muslim is more than your honor. Now, what is the honor of Baytullah Sharif? I think all of us, we know, people go there to Baytullah Sharif, they hold on to the Ghilaf-e-Kaaba, and then they're making du'as and they're crying, and we view it to be such a sa'ada, a felicity, to be able to go so close that they can touch the wall of Baytullah Sharif. So we have so much respect and izzat and love for Baytullah Sharif in our hearts. And the Prophet is saying that one should have a greater respect and a greater honor for the heart of a believer in their heart, for the hearts of believers. We should respect them as well. We should not break anyone's heart, not hurt someone's heart. And unfortunately, this is something we see today. We see the exact opposite, that those who are closest to us, we break their hearts. Mother, father, husband-wife relationship. We see that people break each other's heart. So this is something which is really disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should make this a principle, a way of life. That I want to live my life in such a way that I don't want to break anyone's heart. And the easy way to do so is that we should become soft-hearted. I need to be on the way of the Siddiqeen, the Saliheen, we must become soft-hearted. We must become soft-hearted people. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are soft-hearted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are soft-hearted. Now, there are some people who are naturally soft-hearted, and then there are some people who are a bit, let's say, naturally stern, stern in their temperament, stern in their demeanor, but no issues, no problem. We should always remember that the deen of Islam is precisely, it's that deen which can change our temperament. It's meant to change our temperament, our mizaj, that even if a person's temperament is so stubborn, the deen can change that. This is the guidance of our deen, that there is no temperament that is so stubborn that can stand in the face of the guidance of the deen of Islam. So we have to be guided by this guidance. We have to be guided to these feelings that the deen is teaching us. And one major feeling is that we should become soft-hearted individuals. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be soft-hearted? Means that we should not become so angry easily. We shouldn't become like those who never forgive anyone. We should forgive others easily. and we should be able to soften our heart. You know, this softness is called rikkat. Like sometimes people cry a lot. So a person should be like that with others, that we should be soft, kind with our friends, kind with our families. And again, this softness and this kindness, it begins with one's closest circle. To be more soft with your parents, to be soft with your children, to be soft with your spouse, to be soft, more soft with your family relatives, to be more soft with your friends, to be more soft with the neighbors, to be more soft with your colleagues. So we want to make ourselves more and more soft. More and more soft. Why? Because this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that he was extremely soft-hearted, extremely merciful, extremely kind. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that Allah ta'ala himself is Ra'uf and Rahim. Allah ta'ala is Ra'uf. He's soft and gentle with the mu'mineen, with the believers. And the same thing Allah ta'ala mentions about the Prophet as well. That the Prophet was also Ra'uf and Rahim. He was also soft and gentle with the believers. So we also want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And we will not be considered as having followed the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ until we also become people who are Rauf and Rahim. Rauf means softness, to be kind-hearted. And Rahim means forgiving, overlooking. Overlooking the faults of the mu'mineen. So this is the sunnah. And this is one of the those important attributes. The Prophet ﷺ said that if you forgive others, then Allah will forgive you. Right? So what does that mean? That if you forgive others, when they genuinely, they did wrong to you, they wronged you, when they unjustly wronged you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. When you unjustly disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you unjustly disobeyed Allah, when you wronged your own self, Allah will forgive you if you forgive others when they genuinely wrong you. There's a very beautiful story about Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an, that this is the time in Madina Munawwara when the Munafiqeen, they had began this negative propaganda against Sayyidina Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala an. This false propaganda slandered her, because of which the Prophet ﷺ was very sad, and Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an was even more sad because it was his daughter. And then there was one Sahabi by the name of Mistah radiallahu ta'ala an. And he had also heard some negative propaganda, and he also was affected by that negative propaganda. So when Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an, he was aware that you know, this Sahabi, Mistah radiallahu ta'ala an, he has also gone the other way. So he became really upset with that Sahabi. And he was upset because Hazrat Mistah radiallahu ta'ala an was a Muslim. Plus, he was also a relative of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu an. And plus, more than that, he was such a close family member. He was actually a dependent of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu an. And Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an used to provide for his lodging, for other needs and necessities of his life. So Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala became really upset that Mr. radiallahu ta'ala, why is he saying, why did he why was he swayed by that negative propaganda? So he made this intention that from now on, I will no longer support Hazrat Mr. radiallahu ta'ala. And he was right, he was feeling that sadness. So he made this intention. During this time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the bara'at of Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an, that completely baseless slander, and she's completely pure and pristine. And then Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, he had already made this decision that I'm no longer going to support Hazrat Mista. But then Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayat in the Quran. And in that ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you forgive him, then wouldn't you want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you? Wal yafu wal yasfahu, that you should be forgiving towards him, be overlooking towards them, and wouldn't you love that if you forgive them, then in return Allah will forgive you? So when Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala heard this ayah, he immediately responded and said that, yes, I forgive that person, I overlook his mistakes, because I love the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be forgiving towards me. So this is the usul, that if we forgive others, then in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be quick to forgive us as well. So this is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. The Prophet was very forgiving. The Sahaba Ikram were very forgiving. And all those who are close to Allah, the virtuous, the pious, the righteous, the Siddiqeen, all of them, you see this attribute, that they were very forgiving. So we should also develop this attribute within us as well, that if there is a person who comes to us and seeks forgiveness, then we should quickly forgive that person. We should be quick to forgive other people. In one riwayat that's mentioned in Sahih Bukhari Sharif, the Prophet said, that La yarhamu Allah, man la yarhamu nas, that Allah does not shower his mercy upon those who do not shower mercy upon humans. And if a person doesn't shower mercy upon other human beings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not shower his mercy upon this individual. So we have to learn to forgive others. In one hadith, the Prophet said that when someone comes to you, when someone comes to a Muslim brother and they made a mistake and now they want to seek forgiveness, and if this person does not accept that apology, then let that person not meet me on the Hawza Kawthar on the Day of Judgment. Yani the Prophet wouldn't want to see that person. Then why isn't he accepting the apology? I don't even want to see the face of that person on the Day of Qiyamah. So this is another aspect of being Rauf and Rahim, of being soft-hearted and forgiving, is that you accept other people's apology. That you accept other people's apology. This is a strong hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that if somebody asks forgiveness from you, you should forgive them. And if a mu'min sincerely asks forgiveness from you, it means that they genuinely accept and genuinely acknowledge their mistake. And they feel remorse over that. And they're asking you to forgive them from the bottom of their heart. Then you have to forgive them. You cannot hold a grudge now in your heart. Because why? The Prophet ﷺ said here that if somebody asks forgiveness from you and you don't grant them that forgiveness, then the Prophet ﷺ said, they don't come to me on the Hawza Kawthar. Don't come to me on the Hawza Kawthar on the Day of Judgment if you cannot forgive others. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to be forgiving of others. We should be forgiving of other people. And at the same time, if we made a mistake, then we shouldn't delay in seeking forgiveness from the other person. And if we made a mistake, we should be quick to seek forgiveness. Again, here also we make a mistake. By temperament, we don't like to apologize. And this is because of our nafs. This ananiyat of the nafs. Our nafs is so strong that it doesn't like to bow before others. Doesn't like to apologize. Doesn't like to say this word, sorry. So this is the temperament of nafs. That's very difficult for them to say this word, sorry. I'm sorry, please forgive me. The nafs doesn't like to bow down. Always likes to feel that I'm right, I'm correct. And why should I seek forgiveness? Why should I say sorry? Why should I apologize? And instead of apologizing, we find excuses. We devise new and new excuses that, I did this because X, and I said that because of Y. This is the reason why I did this, and this is the reason why I did that, and this is the reason why I said that. And you're always providing rationalizations and excuses to justify ourselves, to rationalize ourselves. We don't want to apologize. We don't want to say we are sorry. Rather, we would try to find excuses, ways to rationalize and justify what we are doing, that I'm right. And this is exactly the deception of the nafs. This is exactly the deception, the deceit of the nafs, that nafs doesn't want to admit that it's wrong. Nafs would rather find excuses, would rather find ways to rationalize and justify. So we need to oppose our nafs. And the way to oppose our nafs is that if we make a mistake, then we should be quick to seek forgiveness. We shouldn't delay. We shouldn't procrastinate. We should be quick to seek apology, quick to say that we are sorry, quick to seek forgiveness from the other person. And this is another attribute that we see in sometimes even non-Muslim cultures. If you go to a doctor, they're so careful. They might want to do your blood test, and they'll say sorry to you so many times. Before they prick you with the needle, they'll say sorry, this will hurt. And then when they prick you again, they will say sorry. And again, when they take out the needle, again they will say sorry. And in one just blood test, they will say sorry so many times, so many times. This is the training. This is the akhlaq that we are supposed to have as well. We are supposed to be like that. This is the humility. This is the khuluq. This is the character. These are the attributes that we're supposed to have, that we should be comfortable saying this word sorry, and we should apologize quickly if we made a mistake to others. So quick to forgive, and also be quick to seek forgiveness when we make a mistake. And similarly, another aspect of being soft-hearted is that we should become a well-wisher to other people. And that is also really important, to become a well-wisher to others. Because the opposite of being a well-wisher is that you have envy and jealousy for what others have. Envy is so corrosive, so devastating, that in the Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that it eats away your good deeds. Like fire eats away dry wood. So it's so corrosive. And we have to save ourselves from envy, from jealousy. And for that, the principle that we should always remember, that we should become a well-wisher to others. Always become a well-wisher to others. Think well about others. Wish them well. Wish well about others. Now, we should think positively about others. We should be a well-wisher for everyone. And the reason is because there is a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that ad-deenu nasiha, that deen lies in always well-wishing. Deen lies in always good counsel. Deen lies in always good advice. Deen lies in always wishing others well, wanting the best for others, wishing the best for others. For example, So, ad-deen nasiha. So anyone who is a well-wisher, they have deen. They're a person of deen. They're religious. And anyone who is not a well-wisher, means that they're not a religious person. They don't have deen. They don't have the reality of deen. They might have the surah and the appearance and a few rituals, but they're lacking the real essence of deen, the reality of deen. Because ad-deen un-nasiha, deen is well-wishing. So one who is not a well-wisher is not a religious person, is not a deeny person. So wherever you will find well-wishing, you will find deen there. So we should always have good intentions for others. Always think positively about others. Always wish them well. Well-wishing for everyone. Want the best for others. Wish the best for others. Have positive and good intentions for others. This will help us to save ourselves from envy as well. And plus, this is an attribute which will make us beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, for example, in one hadith, the Prophet said that none of you will complete and perfect their iman. None of you will complete and perfect their iman until he or she loves for their fellow believer what they love for themselves. So this is part of our iman. This is part and parcel of our iman, that none of you will complete and perfect their iman until they love for their fellow believers what they love for themselves. So it means that we must love for others what we love for ourselves. And the word that Allah Ta'ala chose is love, until you love for others what you love for yourself. This is the real meaning, that you love. And another meaning here of wishing well is that you always have husne zan, means that you always have positive thoughts about others. To always think the best of others, to always try to bring out the best of others. This is also important. So in summary then, we should become person of good character, good akhlaq, and that means that we should be soft-hearted, not break other people's heart. This softness, in one hadith, the Prophet said that whichever matter contains softness, that matter becomes pleasing and beloved to the in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's fascinating that if you look at the Quran, and we look at the central word in the Quran, and if you try to divide the Quran, look at each word, and then want to look at what is the central word of the whole Quran, then that word comes in Surah Kahf, and that word is wal yatalattaf. And what is so distinctive and special about this word that Allah Ta'ala chose this word to be the central word of the whole Quran? And normally, if you look at the Mus'haf, this word is written slightly, it's in bold, the font size is large. They just highlight that this word is the central word of the Quran, wal yatalattaf. And what is so special about this word is actually the meaning. The word means that you should be soft towards others. And this softness was so beloved to Allah that Allah Ta'ala made this the central word of the whole Quran and gave us a lesson that if you want to know the central, the summary, the central point of the Quran, that is that you should be soft-hearted towards others. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq that we can practice softness in our life. And it's then especially for those who want to do work of deen, being soft-hearted is so important. It's a pivotal skill. Without this, a person cannot do work of deen. And we know this because in the Quran, Allah mentions the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala sent Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam to Fir'aun. And Fir'aun, we know, was a tyrant. And he would claim divinity for himself. He would say, Ana Rabbukumul A'la, I am the Rabbul A'la. And Allah Ta'ala is sending Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that go give da'wah to Fir'aun, invite him towards guidance, towards deen. And the advice that Allah Ta'ala gives at this point is that when you go and speak to Fir'aun, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, that speak to Fir'aun in a soft way, softly. Allahu Akbar. This is so incredible that Fir'aun who claimed divinity for himself, and here Allah Ta'ala is sending Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and giving nasiha, counsel, that when you speak to that Fir'aun, even then you should speak softly. For if you speak softly, perhaps your words might have an effect on his heart. Perhaps he might increase in the fear of Allah. Perhaps he might feel some khashiyat of Allah. Perhaps your word might have an impact and effect on his heart. So you should practice softness even if you're speaking with Fir'aun. Even if you're speaking with such a tyrant and evil person as Fir'aun, still you should speak to him softly. Softly. Our mashayikh, they say that when we keep this example in front of us, this example is really instructive because it teaches the importance of being soft in our speech. So they say that no matter how pious you are, so let's say you're giving dawah to someone, you're inviting someone, or you want to correct someone's mistake, or you want to point out that this is not how to do it, this is the way you should do it. So any such interaction that you're having with someone where you are inviting them towards khair and goodness, so you have two parties. It's one you giving da'wah, and then there's another person who's receiving, who's the recipient of that advice from you. So they say that no matter how pious you are, no matter how virtuous and righteous you are, you can never be better than Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's a fact, right? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was a Nabi. So no matter how individually pious we are, we can never be equal, we can never be close to the piety and righteousness of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And on the other hand, the person whom we are addressing, the person who we are inviting towards deen, inviting to leave their sin, inviting them to leave their bad habits, their evil ways, no matter how bad they are, no matter how evil they are, they cannot be worse than Fir'aun. Surely they cannot be worse than Fir'aun. So if in the Quran Allah Ta'ala is saying to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that you should be soft in speech when you speak to Fir'aun, then all the more we should also be soft when we speak to other people. Even when you're speaking to someone who is evil, bad person, sinner, we should be soft in our speech, soft in our counsel, soft in our advice, because this will have more of an impact on their heart. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq that in this month of Ramadan we can practice these virtues of character as well. One is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the different sifat and attributes that we have been doing in this series. Many of them they pertained to our relationship with Allah Ta'ala, praying and fasting and making dua and tilawat the Quran and tahajjud, etc. But we should always remember that just like hukukullah, the rights of Allah Ta'ala are important, Even more important are the rights of other people around us, hukukul ibad. And the reason is because on the day of judgment, if there is some shortcoming and shortfall in our hukuk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala is ar-Rahman. Allah is merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant us His mercy and can overlook our mistakes, our weaknesses, and then Allah can decree Jannah for us. If it's only about hukukullah. However, if there's some failing in hukukul ibad, in the rights of others, then it won't be sufficient, it won't just be enough that we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because then we need the forgiveness of people around us as well. We violated their right, and we need to seek apology and say sorry to them as well. So this is going to be doubly difficult and challenging. And that's why it comes on the day of judgment, that if a person has hukukul ibad, then he will be answerable for that. There'll be a whole line of people standing on that day and saying that you violated us, and you said this to us, and you broke our heart, and you slandered us, and you backbited against us, and you were angry with us without just cause, and now we want our right back. And then this person will have to give them their right. This person will have to give them their right in the form of his own good deeds. And then if his good deeds, they finish, and there are still people standing in the line waiting that we still have, no, we want our right back, it comes that the sins of those people will be placed on the shoulder of this individual as a way to compensate. So this would be such a tragedy, such a big loss on that day. And in the riwayat it comes, there will be so many people will come on the day of judgment with mountains of good deeds, but then because of hukukul ibad, and because of returning the rights of others, by the time their accountability will finish, instead of a mountain of good deeds, they will have a mountain of sin on their back. Allah Akbar, may Allah Ta'ala save us from that fate. So hukukul ibad is an issue which is really severe and intense in our deen. And it comes that if a person comes on the day of judgment in such a state that they don't have any hukukul ibad, that they're clear on that front, they discharge all their obligations and rights towards other people in the dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at them and say, okay, this person just has some feelings in hukukullah. I will shower my mercy upon him. I will overlook his faults. And now let this person enter into Jannat. Allah Ta'ala will make Jannat easy for that person who has discharged his obligations towards others in this world. Today, unfortunately, small things happen. And because of that, a person becomes envious of others, jealous for others, they stop talking to others. They harbor feelings of malice and hatred and spite. And then they go all the way. They start assuming bad about others. They start slandering them. They start backbiting them. They start hurting them. They start saying things against their back, gossiping, lying. And it's a whole plethora of sins. It's a whole mess of sins. And a person doesn't realize that in doing all of that, they're just harming their own akhirah. They're just endangering their own akhirah for the sake of a few things in the dunya, for the sake of a few moments of this world. They are endangering their akhirah. So may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq that in this month of Ramadan, we can also, while we are working on our hukukullah and improving in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala also grant us these attributes so that we can also improve in our relationship with people around us as well. We can become a source of mercy for them, a source of compassion for them, a source of softness for them, a source of khair for them, a source of love for them, where we can become, you know, this is a month of mawasat. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ash-shahrul mawasat." Ramadan Mubarak, it's a month of empathy. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this empathy. And empathy begins at home, that those who are closest to you, be more empathetic towards them. And similarly, to have empathy for the entire ummah. And this is the other, this year, this is another dimension of Ramadan, that we have the people in Palestine, and we should be thinking about them as well. That's also part of being softness, part of being soft-hearted, that you remember them in your du'as, if nothing else. If nothing else, and looking at the scenes of what's happening there and the tragedy that's unfolding there in Palestine, where entire cities have been decimated, where entire dwellings have collapsed. And on top of that, you have now children who have been made orphans, and women who have been made widows, and elderly who have lost their support of life, their children. And these zulum and this wrong and this oppression that is being done in broad daylight, and there's no one to stop. There's no one to stop. And now it's Ramadan, and one can just imagine what's happening to those children there. Their figures are being they're being disfigured. They're losing their limbs, injured, badly injured, severely injured, with no medication, no treatment. And on top of that, not even food, not even drink, nothing to eat, nothing to drink, and not even having enough strength to shed tears anymore. This is their situation. That's how weak, that's how helpless they are, that don't even have the strength to shed tears anymore, and must be extremely tired in burying their loved ones, in pulling their loved ones out of the rubble, and arranging for graves. All of this is happening right now in Ramadan Mubarak, and we should, at least, if nothing else, we should be cognizant, we should be aware, we should be empathetic. We should, well, Allah Ta'ala will ask us that, what did you do about them? Every single one of us will be asked about those 30,000 people who lost their lives, more than that now. And we should look within us, inside of us, and see that, what answer can I give to Allah SWT on that day, when I will be questioned that, what did you do? Fine, you cannot do anything, but that you could certainly make dua for them. You could certainly think about them. You could certainly include them in your du'as. That's how hard-hearted, how heedless you were, that you were just not even making dua for them, not even thinking about them, and not even remembering them. The people there, they are the most deserving of our softness in this month. Most deserving of our well-wishing in this month. The most deserving of our mercy and of our compassion and kindness. There are people who are being oppressed with an oppression the likes of which we haven't seen before. And there's not even anyone who is even saying even words of comfort, let alone doing something for them, even words of comfort for those innocent children, the women, not even saying any words of comfort for them, words of kindness for them, words of consolation for them, words of prayer and support for them. The least we can do, the least we can do. Yes, we can try to provide support to them financially, monetarily. The routes are open. Aid is trickling in. And if that is also difficult, at the very least, in this month of Ramadan, to make dua. This is the month of dua, not just for our own selves, duas for the ummah, duas for the ummah. The ummah is it's a difficult time. And who knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might accept our duas in this month and make that duas a means of removing this oppression, this zulm, and causing justice to prevail in that region. We know that this was the same month, Ramadan Mubarak was the month when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the battle of Badr, the victory in that battle. Allah ta'ala gave Fatah Makkah, the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, the victory at Makkah Mukarramah also happened in this month, the month of Ramadan Mubarak. This is a blessed month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered his blessings upon us. And if we can turn to Allah, and we should turn to Allah Ta'ala in this month, and ask Allah Ta'ala that Allah grant izzat to the ummah once again. May Allah Ta'ala remove the zillat that has come within the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of all those people in the ummah who are suffering, wherever they are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, the day of Eid is coming. And one would imagine that how can you think about Eid? Eid is a day of festivity, Eid is a day of happiness and joy. And the happiness of Eid has been taken away from us. The happiness of Eid, the joy of Eid, the festivity of Eid, when you look at what's happening to our brothers and sisters there, may Allah Ta'ala grant us the true happiness of Eid. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grant us the joy and the happiness and the delight of Eid, what the Eid is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a day of happiness. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala shower his special mercy upon the Ummah. And we should, at the very least, remember them in our du'as. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq, that we can turn to Allah Ta'ala in this month, make du'a for our own selves, make du'a for our loved ones, make du'a for the entire ummah. In one hadith, the Prophet said that whoever recites the following du'a 27 times every day, Allah will give that person the rank of Mustajab al-Dawat. Mustajab al-Dawat means that that person will attain a rank where all of their du'as will be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. That Allah will give them such a rank that whatever du'a they utter, Allah will not reject that. Any person who has a habit of reciting the following du'a 27 times every single day. And what is that du'a? It's a du'a for the ummah. Okay, Allahumma ghafirli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat. Allahumma ghafirli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat. That Allah forgive me and forgive my parents, and Allah forgive the mu'mineen, the believers, believing men, and the mu'minat, believing women, and the muslimin, and the Muslimah. So we should recite this dua 27 times every day. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq and the ability that we can improve in our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. We can fulfill our hukuk that we have towards Allah Ta'ala. And may Allah Ta'ala also give us the tawfiq, the ability that we can improve and fulfill the hukuk and the rights that we owe to other people around us as well, to the whole Ummah. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make this month a month of empathy, a month of mercy, a month of where we can share grief, and we can make dua and mend broken hearts and do whatever we can to spread goodness and khair. May Allah accept this intention from all of us tonight. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.